We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is sort of a tough needle to thread because I'm going to explain a visual joke that we almost scrapped right before the show, but Tucker had already made it, and it's actually perfect, but it's actually not ideal timing. You're watching Only Weird Games on the KC Sports Network video feed. You'll see myself, Joshua Briscoe, and next to me is Seth Kaiser. He's there. And below us is where Nate Taylor usually is. Now, oftentimes, Nate will either have other things going on in life or, like, other reporting and writing-based things that directly interfere with the beginning of this show. It's just a thing that happens sometimes. He's a busy man. And so Tucker has made an absolutely delightful little slate for Nate's box whenever he's not here. And it's the Eric Andre Show text off to the side of Nate shrugging in a screenshot. And it just says, "We'll be right back." It's a great bit. It looks good in the feed. Tucker, you did amazing work. But Tucker and I were texting earlier and he was like, "Hey, if Nate is late today, I've got something for it." And I was like, fantastic. I hope he is late. This is a great bit. And then like 30 minutes before the show, there was another Rishi Rice thing. And then I got a text from Nate that's like, "Hey, start without me. I'm trying to get comments from an agent or a lawyer or whatever." And so now it's not as funny as it should have been because it's funny. On the other hand, the thing that Seth and I are going to start talking about really, really isn't. That feels appropriately weird.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, proudly presented by Emprise Bank. Coming up, the latest episode of Only Weird Games, formerly known as Time's Ours.
Sorry for all the ISO ball out of the gate here, Seth, but I'm just going to begin today's show by reading. Because if you're just joining in, heck, maybe if you're just grabbing the podcast off your podcast feed later on, I may be breaking news to you now, as this is very much a developing story, starting from WFAA.com, that's ABC in Dallas, a website I frequented a whole lot this offseason and thought I was hopefully close to being done with. I believe they had the initial reports about Rishi Rice's multi-vehicle crash that's turned into all these felony charges, civil suits, all of the whole deal. The headline from today's story from WFAA.com in Dallas is: Kansas City Chiefs receiver Rishi Rice under investigation for alleged nightclub assault, Dallas police say. Dallas police sources say officers are interviewing witnesses about the incident that allegedly happened on Monday at the address. Here is the entirety of the body of the story before it pivots to them talking about the crash and everything. Kansas City Chiefs receiver Rishi Rice is under investigation for allegedly hitting a photographer at a club in Dallas early Monday, police sources say. Dallas police sources say officers are interviewing witnesses about the incident that allegedly happened Monday at 609 North Hartwood Street, which is the address of Lit Kitchen. Nate has already tagged in to give us something that we can read here for you now, which is that the Chiefs have no comment, and Rishi Rice's attorney, Royce West, is expected to release a statement later today on those allegations. Nate's also working to see if he can get any additional details from the Dallas Police Department. But all of that there is from Nate Taylor in terms of no comment from the Chiefs, waiting for a comment from Rice's attorney, and no further info from the Dallas PD. Nate will join us when he is available today. Seth, we have incredibly, incredibly small amounts of information right now. I will say that not just to remind you, you are well aware, but to remind the audience right now, fill in however you want to fill in what the gaps are in this story, and you could paint any possible picture because we literally have two sentences of information right now. Best case, worst case, whatever, and I'm not going to speculate on what all of the options could be here, but we have very little info right now. As we gain more through the show, we will let you know. We're already going to talk about if the Chiefs should be adding a veteran receiver again today. We will pivot to that momentarily. But with all of that, Seth, your thoughts as that story hit our feeds a little bit ago.
I tweeted afterward, or not afterward, I tweeted when I saw the thing. I just allegedly hit a photographer in the early morning hours, i.e. after midnight at a club, which I assume that's what Lit Kitchen is.
Probably. I haven't been.
You know, when you're in legal trouble, I think what you really ought to do is be out after midnight at a place called Lit Kitchen. Great use of your time. Just really cool. Just awesome way to spend your time. And we'll see what happens. We'll see what came of it. But you know what? You know what? I'll be all whatever in a second. So I posted, I was like, we'll see what comes of it, but I don't know, guys. And a Bills fan that I think follows me responded, and this is tongue-in-cheek, of course. You know, this should result in Mahomes getting a lifetime suspension. I enjoyed that. I was like, yeah, it's like, you know, by God, we got to do something about Mahomes. We'll see. I mean, this is obviously in very early nascent stages of investigation. The fact that it would have occurred in the really early morning hours of Monday or Tuesday morning. Yes.
They later made that correction. They had originally reported Monday night and has since said to Monday morning. So, yes, I would assume that post-midnight, Monday morning, late.
There are clubs that are open on Sunday nights.
If you told me that there was a brunch place called Lit Kitchen open on a Monday morning, I would actually be intrigued by that. But probably not at
there.
2 or 3 a.m. or whatever.
No, and what's Josh, you know what? You've got great parents. What happens after midnight, Josh?
Nothing good.
Nothing good. If you are any sort of individual, and this is a football player, this is a law student, because I had some law school buddies that got themselves into kerfuffles here and there. And if you are in medical school or college at all, or any kind of trade, or literally anything that requests that you are a human adult with responsibilities, and you are facing felony criminal charges, don't go out after midnight for a while. Call it a day. Wait for it. No doesn't mean no forever. It means just take a break for a second. Like, for one thing, you're a second round pick. You're not worth $400 million. Save some of your money, because you're going to pay through the nose, buddy. You're going to pay so much for all this that your $6.5 million or $7 million in that first contract, dude, that's gone. That is already gone. And you're out here spending money at a club. Even that, that's just so stupid. Like, if I honestly, now I don't know how this would ever happen, but if I were, for some reason, out and about in Dallas on Sunday night with my wife for God only knows what reason, at 1 a.m, and I ran into Rashee Rice doing nothing but sitting there buying drinks and having a good old time with his buddies, I would look him in the eye and say, you moron, what are you doing here? This is where people get in trouble. Now, to which, if he knew anything about me, which he does not, he would probably have a rejoinder of, aren't you like a Baptist former pastor? Why are you here? And I would say, touche, sir.
I got very lost for a very long time, and now
here. Aren't you from Minnesota? What happened? Rashee knows a lot about me in this hypothetical. So it falls apart at the end. But we'll see what happens. Harrison
just tweeted something out that I thought was interesting. It's not like a report or anything like that. It's this looks like it's in the style of Tyler Dunn's pre-draft notebook stuff, where it's describing Rashee Rice, and it's labeled, and I assume that's what it's from, is from Tyler Dunn, but I trust Carrington wouldn't be copy-pasting something from a site that was just absolutely nothing. Rashee Rice, wide receiver, Southern Methodist, has the size, speed, athletic ability, and production to be a high draft choice. At least one team, however, has removed him from its draft board because of behavioral issues. Quote, "He's talented, but not a good dude," end quote, one personnel director said. Are you, like, determined to prove people that thought that about you right? Like, I just, and here's the deal. I want to try to not get too crazy, because whatever. I mean, we don't know anything. Maybe it turns out to be a big fat nothing burger. But at the very least, you put yourself in a position to where some crap could happen. You wonder how many times I've been accused of assaulting someone outside a nightclub? Josh, how many times do you think that's happened?
I'll take the under on one.
You're muted. Oh, there it is. Yeah, I'm on one. It's just... You don't have to be involved in these situations. Your life doesn't have to be this way. Like, I spent years being a defense attorney in child protection cases. And it was so easy to be able to tell people, oh, they took my kids. Okay, well, what happened? Well, what happened was I left the 2-year-old, the 4-year-old home alone and tested positive for methamphetamine. And I'm like, okay, I think I've discovered the root of the problem here. And it's not that the government took your kids. Let's back up one step. And that's where, like, just all you have to do is not be stupid. And, like, so, okay, you're 22 or however old he is, 23. You want to go out, party, whatever. Have a house party. Invite only people you know to come over to your home and have drinks with them. Get plastered. I don't care. Do whatever you want. But the sheer stupidity of just wanting to live a certain way when, one, dude, you can't afford it. You can't. Now, yeah, you're way
currently
richer
being
than I
sued
am.
For more than he will make over the course of his rookie contract.
Yes.
That is currently it.
Just use your head. And so even if it turns out to be a big fat nothing burger, the fact that he, what are we, a month out? A month and a half out? Oh, no, because it was Easter.
It was the very end of March, like a month and change.
We're a month and a half out of you doing something that has you potentially being charged with felonies. Just chill. Someone replied to me, man, dude, you just stay home and play Madden a little bit. Yes, in Madden. How cool is that? Well, yeah, play Madden as you. Do create a player. Do anything else. But this is just, I'm so irritated. And I hate getting upset in advance, because for all I know, it's some kind of paparazzi jerk that
this is exactly. I told you that there were like a couple of things I wasn't sure.
Yes.
Here's your real quick.
Yes, please.
Of just cases that could, again, because we don't have enough information right now to make judgments of what actually happened. Instead of making judgments on why are you there, I would have said this if I ran into you and nothing bad had happened, I think is fair. But yeah, if it was some paparazzi dork who was, you know, up in his face and, Rashee, what are your comments on whatever? Now, doesn't happen when you are at home as you await your offseason. You were already incredibly terrible offseason where you could have killed people. Your incredibly terrible offseason, I would just try to be as far away from all that as possible. You've already went that out. But if it was, like, nobody is team paparazzi amongst, like, real, like, balanced human beings.
Yes.
Nobody wants that. Nobody thinks that's a cool thing to do. And so if somebody jumped up into your face with, hey, what do you think about whatever, TMZ, blah, blah, blah. Somebody shoves a paparazzi way, way, way invading your personal space or whatever. I don't know that I'm making a huge moral judgment on that, because a lot of stuff is happening there. On the other hand, if this is a woman much smaller than Rashee Rice taking a selfie or something, we're in full on, this is like inexcusable disaster territory. I'm putting two totally random, totally uninformed things on the radar that we could end up seeing it lead to. The other thing is, I've now seen people tweeting about this is Kareem Hunt territory now or whatever. The Chiefs just sort of stood by Justin Ross last year for a long stay on the commissioner's exempt list
for a definite domestic thing with a partner or ex-partner at that point, whenever, during that whole incident that we covered at least a little bit last year. Frankly, I don't think the Chiefs have shown that kind of precedent. People go to Kareem Hunt because it's the one example you have. Yes. And then there are guys that the Chiefs do reportedly take off their board for, you know, quote unquote character concerns. But wherever that report was coming from that Carrington had tweeted out there, clearly the Chiefs weren't that team because they invested a pretty premium pick in them. So there's a ton we don't know. Nate will join at some point today, we hope. And if I get more info from anywhere else at any point, we'll let you know. That's what we have so far. I think everybody is well within their right to be some combination of befuddled and frustrated, because the first word that jumped to mind was simply, I don't think that every famous person needs to have the burden of always being so untouchable, so perfect, perfectly beyond reproach at all times. People have bad moments. People can be on the wrong side of interactions, all of that.
Even genuinely terrible moments.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Even do legitimately bad, borderline evil things. Bad crap happens. I get that.
But we just stopped talking about Rashee Rice with the worst NFL news of the offseason, if I can, or the worst, you know, pending suspension of this NFL offseason. The reason that I've got quotes from Roger Goodell is because right before the NFL draft, Mike Greenberg was like, hey, hate to bring you down here, buddy, but what's the plan for Rashee Rice, the biggest discipline the NFL is currently in line to hand out before this season begins? Now we're here again. Like, again, I'm not saying that everybody needs to either be publicly perfect or a total hermit, shut in, whatever. But I do not think it is too much to ask, as you just alluded to, Seth, to say, hey, man, you've had an incredibly bright light on you for this last month, for the last type of thing you want to have shined upon you. Mm-hmm. Would this not be the time to lay as low as possible and to just have to, like, get a driver to take you to Camp Mahomes and driven back again and just... I don't understand, much less play with fire. I don't know why you would play with a firecracker at that point. And again, and there's still a world in which Rashee Rice is not in the worst role of whatever happened Monday morning in Dallas. We don't know that. I cannot believe we're having our second discussion about a Rashee Rice thing this offseason.
Right.
Go ahead. If you want to put a cap on it, we can
yeah,
our brand, we can talk about some vet receiver options. Because this, tell you what, I've also given you my side. I don't think the Chiefs are going to be cutting Rashee Rice unless he starts lying directly to Clark Hunt. And even if he does, I think Andy Reid might be like, we'll sit him down. He's a super talented second-year receiver that helped save their season last year. And unfortunately, the rules aren't the same for everybody. Whatever happens here, but you put a cap on that. And we do need to talk about this year, because I do think it changes the landscape for this year, depending on what ends up coming out from this story.
Absolutely. I mean, I know we plan on talking about the wide receiver market at, you know, later on. And so we can talk about that, because, you know, Tyler Boyd just signed for $4.5 million. DJ Chark just signed for $5 million. Now, these guys are not season savers. These are, like I wrote about a week ago or 2 weeks ago, I think last week, these are floor savers. These are guys that you know you can give 600, 700 snaps, and you're fine. Your offense can still be very, very good. They won't drag you down. I wrote that thinking that Rashee Rice is probably facing half a season. Who knows? And again, like you said, we don't know enough, whatever. But I at the very least, this isn't going to help. Like, you know,
second offense before they got the punishment handed down for the first one.
This is like when I see someone on the in custody list that I'm currently prosecuting for something, and I see them on a new thing, and I'm just like, or like when someone's already almost pled, I'm like, well, judge, we haven't really dealt with their old thing yet. And then the judge usually says something mean, like, well, we certainly seem to be stacking these up, Mr. Smith, you know, or something like that. And it's not fun for anyone. It just is. It's annoying.
We'll see how it goes, but it does definitely lay bare the idea of, okay, what is the plan? Now, here's the funny thing. Rashee Rice could be gone for the entire season, and there's still a very, 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 very realistic world in which the wide receiver room is still five times better than last year. Mm-hmm. It's just, I hate having to count on rookies. Even one that's being pushed, like no rookie receiver has been pushed in the history of the Andy Reid era. They've never been with a wide receiver like what they're doing with Xavier Worthy. And so maybe that lets us break into the next thing. And I do like your idea of maybe, I know, look, everyone, I know you love it when Josh gets me. But maybe we should just take a break and then talk about fun things.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Did I read the Andy Reid quote that I said before the show that I was going to read?
No, no, you haven't.
I don't think I have.
What does it say?
There was, I don't think you have that power. You definitely could. But it would take away the topic break that we were hoping it would give us. But I do think this is the most meaningful thing that Andy Reid has said about Rashee Rice to this point. And I bet it rings differently now than it does when he said it in mid-April. Quote, well, yeah, listen, as long as he's learned from it, that's the important part of it. We'll take it from there and see what takes place. But right now, we're just kind of gathering everything and trying to make sure we have all of the bases covered. That was Andy Reid asked about how he and the Chiefs view Rashee Rice in terms of his decision making going forward as a player and a football player, or as a person and a football player. And Andy Reid said, well, yeah, listen, as long as he's learned from it, that's the important part of it.
There's a veiled threat in that.
It kind of sounds like it. Or a maybe literal get out of jail free card of like, hey, man, be repentant and say you've learned from it. And, you know, I thought that phrasing was interesting to me anyway, because I don't know that it's the most important part of it, but it's what Andy Reid said was the important part of it. Still a world in which Rashee Rice is not, that we are talking about this more now than we ultimately will be as it all comes together. Mm-hmm. We'll find out. I don't know. Things will be different when we do the show on Thursday. Things might be different by the end of this show. But as long as he's learned from it, that's the important part of it. It would be hard to argue right now that he has learned a positive lesson from this. And now we just wait for more information. Let's take a break.
We appreciate you supporting KC Sports Network by listening to our podcast. You have helped us become the highest-ranked Chiefs podcast network in 2022 and 2023. And don't forget about our daily Substack newsletter, the best written analysis you can find on the Chiefs straight to your inbox every day. KCSN.substack.com.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Can I just say that it really is unfortunate that the Reed quote kind of tails in on a much more serious thing, because that would have been the greatest. But I saw you see the greed in my eyes.
I saw it.
The incredible, I don't want to say lust, but I will. The lust I had towards getting you. You know what? I'm not even going to contextualize it. Just the lust I had for getting you, Josh.
I don't want to step on any of that audio or that clip. So, Tucker, Claude, whoever, anybody wants to hop on that one, if you could have that video to me by the end of the show, I think that'll be the best thing that happened to me in a long time. So what's next, Seth? It was the 1, 2, 3. It was like topic 4 or 5 originally, but the wide receiver market has been shriveling down since the last time we talked about it, which was smaller than the last time we talked about it before that. And now we are likely here talking. We're talking about Zay Jones and Michael Thomas. Who do you want to save your season?
The wide receiver market has jumped into a lake in early May in Minnesota. That thing has shriveled up like nobody's business. I wanted the Chiefs, whether or not, even if Rashee Rice had been for no suspension, everything just comes out hunky dory. It turns out it's his buddy who passed him, and he was actually driving the speed limit. That's not what happened, by the way. But right. And then, you know, here he was bravely defending a bunch of orphans and nuns from a brutal photographer who was actually a pervert who was trying to take terrible pictures of children. Even if that were the case, yeah, man, you could tell my job's the worst because I make jokes like that.
I was trying to decide if I was going to let that go, but I feel like other people should know that that's just something Seth deals with every day.
I went down a dark path there. I'm back now. Sorry.
Yeah.
It's the black shirt and dark tie. But
sometimes
even if
you see
the story,
you see not the light behind Seth's eyes. Sometimes you see the darkness behind Seth's eyes, and it's because that's whenever he seems like he's in a better mood when we're talking about even serious football things, it's because that's what the day-to-day usually sounds
like.
So.
No, it's great. Well, then you just compartmentalize it. You put it in a little jar, and then you just kind of put it away, and it'll never bother you ever, ever again.
Never. That's never coming back.
It's
back to the Ark of the Covenant.
Yeah. And nothing ever bad happens when you open the Ark of the Covenant. So even if everything had gone perfect with Rice, my first thought when I look at the Chiefs roster is Hollywood Brown, nice. Love it. Rashee Rice, football context, nice. Love it. Xavier Worthy, nice, love it. Caveat, he's a rookie.
Yep.
Even if he didn't weigh 110 pounds or whatever it is, right? Which, by the way, whoever takes care of taking pictures for Chiefs social media, I understand why you'd put Rice in the middle of the draft pick pictures. Having him stand in between the two offensive linemen.
You mean Worthy, probably. That would make
sense. Who did I say?
You said Rice. That's all right. We're talking about him.
Did I? Oh, okay. Worthy. Having Worthy stand between the two offensive linemen that you drafted, that was a decision that you made that maybe you could have had him like kneeling, you know, like forced perspective. He could have been
the decision they made shortly after the. No, I don't know that they were responsible for tweeting out the drop that heard around the world, which I was.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I was surprised you were doing that. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh,
don't take the rabbit.
That is just such a fun thing to think about.
Like very small between the lines.
And then looking at it by Jared Wiley over there, who is the same height as Kingsley, maybe taller.
Jared Wiley is huge. That guy's enormous. Oh, my goodness, Tucker, you're so great.
I mean, look at this. I mean, this looks like a Make-A-Wish kit.
No, you can't. really athletic make-a-wish kid.
He looks like the sprinter that the high school team convinced to come try out. And all of the linemen are like, nah, man, we're not going to let him hit you. You're good. But
you're good.
He looks so skinny.
He plays point guard for our basketball team. He's really quick. He's actually with our local soccer team, too. He's the kicker. I mean, it's just how it goes. But really, guys, you got to think that through. But so even he, despite being 165, 170 pounds, he's only 21. He's going
to
put on a few
trying
pounds.
To. We're having fun again. Sorry. Imagine you're a safety. And there's just a little screen. It's Xavier Worthy. And you're starting to figure out what your angles are. And then right in front of him is number 76. That's Kingsley on an absolute road grader. You literally may lose sight of Worthy at some point in that interaction. Whoa, you just laugh so hard you unplug something. Like you're coming through a couple of soup cans now. Nope, still bad. You may need to double check your settings or something. It sounds like so much worse than I can even explain. You just click and point things. You could literally put Xavier Worthy in the middle of a flying V behind the three linemen in Wiley, and he could do the whole Tyreek Hill like duck and run kind of thing. And I think that might actually work. So maybe this is planting information for your opponent. So they can be like, no, I heard Xavier Worthy was too small. And then, you know, you hopefully win that battle. I was going to get a Drake joke at some point today. We'll figure it out. Oh, man. Seth's like in the settings now and everything. Here's what I'll say. I think that sounded bad again still, Seth. Oh, maybe. It's not even coming through mercifully. So if you need to leave and rejoin and plug your stuff together, I'll talk about the remaining receivers. Because you've talked about Zay Jones. I am now Nate's box about being right back is in Seth's box, and I'm just here by myself. Finally, this show got good. I'm tempted by Michael Thomas, especially in a world where you're wondering about even less Rashee Rice this year. And I understand that he had four incredible years and then 4 years where he has like barely played football. That's a bit of an exaggeration, but not a huge one. If you're in a position now, and this is we've talked about this on the show, and Seth has mentioned this himself, but you're in a position now where you are having a pair of slight wide receivers, not injury prone and not tough, and now they can't even play on the outside of the NFL level. But Hollywood Brown and Xavier Worthy are littler dudes at the wide receiver position. Wear and tear happens, guys get hurt. You've got them, you've got Justin Watson. And Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore and Justin Ross. You don't have to go too many degrees with Rashee Rice being suspended for who knows how long. You don't have to work very hard to see the future in which the Chiefs wide receiver group is not as big of an improvement on last year as we all thought it was going to be. Again, that's Rice being gone for a chunk of it already. It's accounting for a rookie also being skinnier. And I agree, Seth. They need to add some weaponry. How do you sound?
I don't know.
We're good.
Yes.
Here's the other thing I was adding to the cocktail of the receiver conversation. Worthy's a rookie, which no one is really talking about right now, and not injury prone, but Worthy and Hollywood are both a skinny type of receiver that aren't guys you're gonna want to be taking a lot of hits over the course of the year. So you don't have to work very hard to get a Hollywood misses four games. Worthy isn't ready to be a number one receiver the first half of the season, which I think is probably true right now anyway. Maybe at a worst case. And Rashee Rice probably isn't there for the first half of the season. Pretty early on, Justin Watson's getting wide receiver two snaps. Maybe wide receiver one, depending if Hollywood gets hurt. And then it's Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore. And if it's last year minus playoff hero MVS.
And that's just it. So like people last week, remember when I started saying like with MVS and Nate said it way more, mostly because he was bugging people in the comments. But I mean, what's your alternative? Would you rather have MVS see significant targets? But now I know most people would say Justin Watson. Maybe, but let me tell you, couldn't happen last year. I don't see any reason to think that it would happen this year. And I could hear the argument of, hey, MVS wasn't worth having out there last year, so let's not do that. But now you are at a point in the season, and because they didn't double dip at receiver, and just now we're at this time of the offseason, we are literally talking about Zay Jones and Michael Thomas. Hunter Renfrow is not fixing this team. I feel like there's one other like little free agent name that people have thrown around that is just not a needle mover. None of these guys are going to be huge needle movers, but right now it feels like someone not on this roster needs to get some snaps this year, or you're back in Sky Moore, Kadarius Toney, talk yourself into the upside territory. And I'm kind of in on Kadarius Toney, and I'm not that in.
You know, what's kind of interesting with Kadarius Toney, for as much as he clearly lacks consistency in the wide receiver room, I mean, the worst thing he's done is drop passes and say things while streaming.
And lining up offsides.
Oh, crap, I forgot about that. So, I mean, it's on-field stuff there. And so, like, this is where I wanted the Chiefs to double up a wide receiver in the draft. Troy Franklin dropped to, like, the third round, and I was, like late in the third round, too, wasn't it?
Yeah,
I remember
he was there for a long time.
And I remember sitting there thinking, you know, it seems as though they could do it, you know? And so they really, that's the real problem here is
you went already. He was 102. It was well ahead of where the Chiefs fourths came in, but
right.
He was there.
And so it would have required trading up, and I get that. But that's really where you're at right now is you need to ask yourself, you're in a position to where, like, say Zay Jones, for example. Do I think Zay Jones a world beater? No, I don't. Do I think he's someone that you can give $5 million to, $4 million to, which seems to be the going rate for these receivers? And you could say, hey, we might need someone who could take 500-600 snaps and not stink. Can you do that? And he'd be like, yeah, I could do that. Great. Can you catch 2 or 3 passes a game that come your way? You know, that's, and then if something bad happens, have a game or two where we might throw you the ball 7-8 times and really scheme around. Can you do that? Sure. I've been in the league a while. I could do that. They need guys like that because they don't have guys like that. Brown and Worthy love the ceiling. And this is exactly what I was talking about last week. Love the ceiling, hate the floor. The floor is exactly what we saw happen last year. And I know we're not moving right to the offseason lessons, but that really is one of the ones we're going to get to, is that there is a floor. There is a certain level that the wide receivers can hit that can affect Mahomes. And before anyone says, well, they won the Super Bowl, just because you won the Super Bowl despite a thing doesn't mean that you want to try to make it more difficult on yourself. Like in 2022, they won the Super Bowl, but they tried to improve the defense even more to try to take another step forward because the pass rush wasn't quite what they wanted to be. So they went out and they signed Charles Omenu, who was a really good pass rusher the year before in San Francisco. Like, you still try to improve those things. And that's where you just got to figure something out here because the floor is scary. And we've seen, can the Chiefs overcome scary? Sure. Do I want to count on a genuinely elite defense 2 years in a row? That's almost impossible to sustain in the NFL. And that's what you'd need to do. Do I want to watch Travis Kelce look miserable for half the season again? I don't. You know, I want him to enjoy his 2 year farewell tour thing that it looks like he's got going. So I just, right now, there weren't very many options, but the good news is the options right now are pretty cheap. $4 million for Zay Jones is not that much, and it's worth it. Like what someone said last time, it's called redundancy. You want to have that in the bag, and even if you know Rashee Rice is getting suspended for a while, you know that's going to happen. So you can tell this guy, hey, here's the deal. For at least half a season, you're going to be a big part of the offense. And then when they come back, if you've performed, you'll still get rotated in quite a bit because your fourth wide receiver sees a lot of snaps. So this, they really could. Because what if Worthy needs some time to get acclimated? That could happen. On the other hand, I mean, like, at this point, someone commented, like, on Twitter, they was like, man, Worthy's going to get, like, 140 targets as a rookie. Yeah. And just out of sheer happenstance, the guy's going to, like, be in rookie of the year running just because there's no one else to throw it to. So Mahomes is going to be like,
1,000 yards receiving as a rookie.
Yeah, on 268 targets. That seems sustainable with the guy that's, you know, the size of my teenage son.
No one ever catches
about those jokes. Yeah. I feel bad about those jokes because let me just tell you, not only could Xavier Worthy outrun me, I'm sure he can outlift me and outfight me and out everything manly me. So that's why it's okay for me to say things about his size, apparently.
Like Kendrick is 5'7" and he's up big right now in that beef. So I think this is a short King summer. Kendrick Lamar, or as you might call him, Lamar Kendrick.
Was that the dude from the Super Bowl?
Let's talk about Jaden Hicks. I don't know when Nate's going to join us, and I can't get mad at you. We need to be on the same team here. Here's the thing. If Nate just doesn't get here before most of the show's over today, we're going to rerun some of that stuff on Thursday. We were, as you may see on the rundown if you're watching, or may not have seen if you're listening, we were going to start the show with Nate's observations from Chiefs rookie minicamps. We heard from international sensation Louis Riz-Emmett, and he talked, and it was interesting, and Andy Reid talked about it. It was kind of interesting. We had stuff on that was largely predicated on Nate being here. But Seth wrote a new film review on the Chief of the North newsletter, mnchiefsfan.substack.com, about Jaden Hicks. Seth, you took several interesting angles on this, pros and cons, in a way that I think is intriguing, and your facial expression makes me wonder if
people are so excited about Jaden Hicks.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to write about why that dude's going to come in and be a star in year one.
And so what you've actually written is that Jaden Hicks is incredibly spagsy and is Daniel Sorensen. So tell me more about how you came to that conclusion.
I mean, Jaden Hicks, fun player to watch. I can absolutely see why they took him. I can absolutely see why they were surprised he fell to them in the fourth round. This is the pick. You know, if you ever want to really wonder whether or not advertising is effective, just listen to the way people respond to draft picks that draft Twitter loves. Because we are, as a species, pretty susceptible to suggestion. And generally speaking, at least this is what I learned in psychology like 20 years ago, so it's probably changed now because, let's face it, psychology is a soft science. no disrespect to any psychologists in the chat. They would probably say that that's a defense mechanism that I'm utilizing. Anyway.
Unlike the hard science of lawyering.
Any lawyer who's honest doesn't claim that we're doing anything other than making arguments, man. This isn't like a pure thing. This isn't like a, hey, your kidney, it has a stone. We need to remove the stone. These things are simple. Psychology, you know what? What am I doing?
These things are simple. Medical science doesn't change. Seth Kaiser, 2024.
Oh, man, you know what? I've been feeling kind of sick. Hang on, let me bleed myself here for a little bit. Get that demon out of me.
Tell me about Jaden Hicks.
So, a lot of people are excited about Jaden Hicks, and I think they should be to an extent. But I think a lot of the reason people are really excited about him, and I could be wrong here, is because they were told they should be. And generally speaking, the more you think you're not susceptible to suggestion, I have terrible news for you. The more susceptible to suggestion you are. It's kind of like the people that are like the most like obsessed with how objective they are. It's like, I have terrible news for you. You're not super objective. You just happen to think really highly of your opinion.
I do. What was the point of this?
So, and that's, oh man, see, no, the chat's going to go a certain way. I got to stop caveating. So, I had a lot of people asking me, oh, hey, do you think he can replace Jordan Reed year one? You think he can replace Brian Cook?
What about Justin Reed? Objective boy.
Why do I say Jordan Reed? Hey, shout out to Jordan Reed, great reporter. But Justin Reed.
Bad safety. That great time. Reporter, bad safety.
Yeah. Well, I mean, who knows? I haven't seen him. But I would assume probably not a terrific safety. Anyway, so, you know, they're asking, oh, no, he's Justin Reed. That's the biggest thing that I keep hearing from people. No, he's Justin Reed. He's Justin Reed reincarnated. Why don't you take a look at Justin Reed's relative athletic score and his 40 time, his 10 and 20 yard splits, his agility, like his three cone, his shuttle, all those things. And then take a look at Jordan Hicks. Let me just tell you, they are not the same. And it's not that Jordan Hicks is a bad athlete for a safety. He's just not a particularly good one. Does he play a little faster than that? Yes. Does he play a lot faster than that? Not really. Is he a good player? Certainly. You could see him all over the tape, Washington State's film. You could see him making plays. Jordan Hicks. Jordan Foote, you say, quit messing with me. I'm easy enough to throw off. Sorry, the comments got to me.
Justin Foote.
Justin Foote. So the biggest thing that I saw, so like we could do, let me do the bad part of it, okay? Because that's, when I say he's spagsy, I mean he's spagsy and like Spags really played Dan Sorensen over Juan Thornhill for a long time. He put Nick Bolton on the field in obvious passing downs instead of first Willie Gay and then Drew Tranquil. Spags loves smart players. And the problem is you almost say smart player and it starts to sound like an insult of some sort. It's not. It's just Spags, you know.
But if they were a smart player and a tremendous athlete, you would say they're a great player. Like you,
yes.
It really is. You are highlighting the good thing and lowlighting what you're not highlighting. Like that's how analysis works.
That's absolutely fair. And so in Spags' world, you know what covers a multitude of sins? It's not love. It's football intelligence. And so as he wrote in 3 Corinthians, football intelligence covers a multitude of sins. And so that's one thing you see with Jaden Hicks. He gets his run fits almost perfect. He doesn't get drawn away. You can see him seeing routes develop in front of him. He plays things really smart. He gets guys lined up. The ever important, yes, Chiefs fans, Jaden Hicks helps guys get lined up correctly.
Yes! 94% of the snaps did give them to him right now.
Just right now. And so he does all those things. He tackles well. He has a lot of good qualities. He also, out of the slot in man coverage on my guy Jalen Polk, just took the ball from him on a pick. There. He's got really good ball skills, and he's got good coverage down the field. But you know what he's not, at least on film? He's not that quick, and he's not that fast. And in every game I watched, there was at least one play where he got an open space against someone, and they just kind of just ran around him. Just kind of like, oh, look at that guy. He's in my window. And someone commented, can he help Tony line up correctly too?
Yay!
Ayo,
that's wide receiver 3 Kadarius Tony to you.
Yeah, no kidding. Maybe wide receiver 1, TBD. You know, it really would be the funniest result ever if Tony like had like some 900-yard, 8-touchdown season. I'd laugh. Well, I'd laugh hysterically.
I'd take it.
Yeah, so he does a ton of things really well. He played all over the field, but that's another way that he's spagsy, right? So you've got the maybe not as athletic as I'd like. He's a little spagsy like that in terms of like safeties and linebackers. And now it's funny because Brian Cook, tremendous athlete. So Spags does all kinds of things. I feel like Brett Veach won a fight against Spags to pick Brian Cook. Like, and then like, so then he's like, okay, I'll give you Jalen Watson, but I'm taking Josh Williams. Like they just back and forth and back and forth. Like, okay, we could do this great athlete. And now we'll take this guy that's a little slower, but has a really good technique. And so we'll see. Someone derelict asks, so Dirty Dan, but always good. Sure, why not?
Sure.
He definitely looks like a player that you can line up in that hybrid safety / linebacker role and do really well and fire and forget him year one. That might be valuable considering Willie Gay is gone. Because Willie Gay was a guy that you could kind of have do some of those things. And they didn't always seem as comfortable with some of their current safeties really close to the line of scrimmage. The one that's best at that stuff, honestly, in my opinion, is Brian Cook. But he's also one of the most athletic ones on the back end. So it's kind of tough to do that. So he fits that role. There's just not a lot on him to know whether or not he can really be an actual safety. And that's what my fear is. Anytime you see someone, oh, he's like a Swiss Army knife. He can line up anywhere. It's kind of like what we talked about with Leo Chenault, which, you know, whatever. I mean, You know, you mean the guy that helped dominate the Super Bowl, Leo Chanel? Yes, Seth the Moron had a lot of doubts about that. So
his two best teams are in two Super Bowls. It's inexplicable, and it's where we're at right now. So we'll figure it out.
Yeah, and I don't know. And that's the thing. For Spags, and it's a fourth-round pick. This isn't a second-round pick or a first-round pick. If what Spags says is this is a guy that I can get 25 really good snaps out of in a really niche role, that's worth a fourth-round pick. I just think people might want to pump the brakes. And now here's the deal. The lab guys love him, from what I can tell. And if you're going to put me in a room against, you know, Craig and Maddie, not so much Kent, but the other two, and say who knows ball more, I'm going to concede to those guys all day. Now, I won't concede a red cent to Kent. You better believe it on anything. You could ask who was a better quarterback at Mid-America Nazarene University, and I'd say I was better. And I didn't even go there. So
Kent barely did.
He'd appreciate that joke. But so the lab guys love him, and that alone is enough for me to say, maybe I'm being a little too much in terms of valuing the obvious. Also, hand up, I doubted Juan Thornhill coming out. So what do I know? I just would say I see a role for him, but I don't know if that role is a full-time one.
The only thing that I would sort of, like, I don't know, swirl around there a little bit is the idea that I think we have evidence of Spags both maximizing players like that and minimizing the negatives. And so, like, the thing that I'm excited about, and this doesn't totally translate to the slot spot, because I think you and I are on the same page on this, and I think Nate has tried to tell us that we're both going to be disappointed.
Let's ask him. Nate, what do you think?
Nate, your thoughts?
Oh, he's never been wrong about anything.
Thank you, Nate.
You know, Josh, I will say, this is me, Seth. No, I think you're a great host. I really appreciate you. You're kind of the glue of this show. That's what I think. But Seth, guys,
calm down. Hey, but what he going to do next?
See, I can't.
What he going to do next, Josh? What he going to do with him? Where he going to line him up, Josh?
Here's my Nate Taylor impression. I hope very little of that came through.
No, like, it was perfect. The very beginning and then nothing.
That hurt my ears.
Yeah. But where he from, baby? Where he from?
You know, I actually, I'm like,
pull your glasses down and then back up again.
Yeah. I'm like a tick off from a really good Nate impression. So I'm going to workshop that a little bit.
I think it's in there. I would like for Trent McDuffie to keep being the best slot corner in football. In addition to him playing outside when necessary, it seems like the Chiefs might not be on that track, and we'll see. But with that being said,
drafting guys to put in the slot. It's like, you know what we could do? We could put him in the slot. It's like, but I mean, you could draft a three tech too, but why would you do that?
Right. There's a lot of different, I mean, people make choices, but even with me acknowledging that that might be us losing the McDuffie slot battle a little bit. When you have Justin Reed or Jordan Reed and Brian Cook, however you spell it, and Shamari Connor and Jaden Hicks, and then obviously Williams and Watson are outside guys but are physical players.
Yes.
Spags could pull any lever at any point. That could be three linebackers on the field. It could be two linebackers in your sub package, and maybe Hicks is your extra DB. The dime options for this team could get absolutely sick. But at any point for any opposing quarterback, and look, hey, if Jaden Hicks is too slow to get from point A to point B by the end of it all, this part won't matter. But if you are an opposing quarterback and you are seeing all of these dudes out there with their numbers in the 20s, I think, and then single-digit Brian Cook and Kamal Haddon's in the 17, that's fine. You look at the defensive backs the Chiefs can put out there and what they can do pre-snap and at the snap. You can never relax.
Absolutely. And that's something about Jaden Hicks. Really comfortable rotating coverages. And I promise you that's something Spags looked at, because there were a couple times where it's like, oh, okay, they're just going to do coverage. Ooh, where's he going? Like right as the ball was snapped. And I was like,
Ooh, we're rotating. Look at you rotate, college boy. It's like watching college film is so different from watching
Washington State's got terrible.
Did you drop back into cover three instead like a big boy? You did. Good job.
Sometimes I'm proud of you, Pac-12.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's but what it is. It's rotations and it's pressure. And it's who's doing it, who's going that way and who's going this way. Like,
I do love that that element is being leaned into, even while also historically being the guy that just wants to draft like the greenest RAS scorecards remain.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's also- yeah, exactly. And that's something that with safeties in particular, it's tough to know what'll translate. And so I've got a little bit of Dan Sorensen, Playoff legend Dan Sorensen, PTSD there, which really isn't fair because what did Dan Sorensen ever do to me other than play as best he could in a situation I'm sure he didn't ask for? Like, I'm sure, like, when Spags is telling him to go out, he's having the whole, you know, put Petey in, he's better conversation that Ryan Gosling had. Remember the Titans? He's like, what are you doing? Put Turk from Scrubs in, he's better. And so, anyway. One thing worth noting, he's not just like Dan Sorensen. Their RAS scores are not the same. He is significantly more athletic than Dan. He's just not as athletic as Reed. And so we'll kind of see how it goes. I do like, though, what you're talking about, that ability to just be that chess piece. I love that. I think even in a limited role, it's really cool. Like, I almost feel like Spags is like pushing the Chiefs defense, like their linebackers and safeties, towards like this weird positionless football, which is going to be really great when he gets a head coach offer in like a year and they get a regular defensive coordinator who's like, what is this Leo guy for? Like, man, he's tall. He likes to hit people, but he can barely move from side to side. Like, what's happening? And Spag's like, no, it's pretty easy. And like, he's like, no, it's not, Steve. It's not easy for anyone but you. But
just
till then,
just have them do all of the things that they're the best at and confuse opposing defenses while you do it. I'm going back to New York. I don't know, whatever.
Yeah. Spags is like, I don't know why more idiots aren't trying this.
Yeah.
Like, and so it's exciting. I enjoyed watching this film. It's just of the four guys now. Yes. Okay. Between him and Sudamayada.
No, but
did I really? Dang it, Kingsley. Ah, dang it. I was so excited to do that. Sorry, Kingsley. I'm terrible with everyone, not just you.
You were closer than I thought you were going to get. And I'm surprised you tried.
Oh, thank you. Title of you. You know what? Never mind. So I was going to make a Brooklyn Nine-Nine joke, but I can't. So anyway, of the guys that I reviewed, of Kingsley, Wiley, and Worthy, there it is. He's my least favorite of the four that I've reviewed so far. I don't see quite as obvious a path towards being an above average to good overall player with him. But in Spags' defense, you see a great role there. But it's not necessarily a knock on him. I just really liked the other three guys, like, a lot. So he's still a good pick. Fourth round we're talking here. Definitely worth taking. It's just maybe pump the brakes on this whole, well, he's going to replace Justin Reed. Maybe. We'll see. Some guys play just as fast in the pros as they do in college. It's a weird thing, but that mental processing aspect matters.
Seth, I don't mean to alarm you.
No.
But I think we could be done with this show for today.
But what about Luis Reed Zamit?
I didn't watch him play football.
Oh, right. You're relying on Nate.
I had some anecdotes about Red Zone Lewis that I was going to intersperse. Main thing is, too handsome for football. Rugby makes more sense for him. No helmets. You can't. We gotta let him play without a face mask. But I didn't get to see him do anything. I didn't get to watch the rookies do anything in person, and Nate did. We've also not gotten any Nate dispatches back on the Rashee Rice front. The WFAA story I was reading from earlier has no new information in the lead right now, as far as I can tell. And frankly, we have the time, but I just wouldn't feel right doing off-season lessons without Nate here. Like, I feel like I've been holding it this long. I'd like to share it with everyone all together. And earlier you said you wanted to be able to leave by 5:40. Look at the clock. It's 5:37. We may actually be able to hit an out time for once. So that's what we've got for now. I do genuinely apologize if you saw the YouTube title. I don't know what the podcast title is going to be, but if you saw the YouTube title of New Chiefs Players Impressed During Rookie Minicamp, Jaden Hicks Film Breakdown, 50-50 is not terrible. And yeah, we didn't know there was going to be another Rashee Rice thing. And we didn't know that Nate was going to get yoinked out of the claw machine like one of the aliens from Toy Story to go try to cover more Rashee Rice stuff. So the claw got Nate. And we just got to look at this very funny picture of him for the entire hour. I am glad that we stuck to that, Tucker. Good work by you once again. And sorry it was for such an uncool circumstance that we didn't have Nate with us here today. But we'll be back on Thursday. We will have presumably a statement, we think, later tonight from Rashee Rice's attorney. But we'll certainly have more info by Thursday, and no more Chiefs practices until then anyway. So we'll get Nate's rookie minicamp thoughts and more on Rashee Rice when we get there on Thursday. With that being said, Seth, we're just under an hour, and I think you have the honors.
Oh, man. This is always the most pressure-filled moment of the show. The part where I have to try to fill the positively enormous shoes of Nathaniel Taylor, which, let's face it, I don't have the foot size for it. I just don't. But, you know, if it were Nate's fee was the wide receiver market before, I'm the wide receiver market now. That's just how it is. So,
but you've shriveled up.
I had to do everything in my power to stop myself from trying to just go right back into the Nate impression. Because once I feel like I can start to do an impression of someone, I really like to try to get down to kind of nail it. But I also, as I was doing the Nate impression, I thought to myself, maybe I should pump the brakes on this for a minute, make sure that we don't drift into offensive territory here at some point. So I guess I'm gonna circle back to life advice for young people, because apparently more people need it than they could. You know, a lot of you who are, let's say, 25-ish and under really might feel like life kind of ends a little bit, like at 30, 31, 32, and it's just not going to be as fun. And so you got to get what you can while the getting's good, and you got to go out.
And you're right. Thanks for watching.
The headlines remind us daily the world is a dangerous place. The elites in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing, but you know better. And your gut knows that time is short to prepare for a world that is four missed meals away from chaos. My Patriot Supply has helped over 3 million families become more self-reliant and is the company Americans trust to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contain delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Secure at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200, plus get free shipping on all their Ready Hour 3-month emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour Foods. My Patriot Supply also has solar power generators, water filtration units, biomass stoves, heirloom seeds, and critical survival gear. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.